with your rational mind, is the basis of the book. The basis of the book.
Well, if I want to know Islam and practice Islam in my life, should I be more interested in the basis of the book or in the picture language of the book? The word gives us a picture language too. The word gives us a picture language and it gives us an oral language. So, should I be more interested in the picture language or in the logic, the rational language, that forms the basis of the book?
That you know that.
Now,
what does Allah say
of those who prefer the picture language to a clean, rational language? In their heart is a corruption, a defect.
That's what God says.
Those who prefer the human heart, that resembles something that God is trying to get you to understand. They prefer that over the rational, clear teachings of the Quran. They have a defect
in their heart. They're perverted. So remember that.
They look up those who are hung up
on the wayside. You know, I'm dedicating my arm and keep walking down the plain, clear path. I keep going forward with my supporters, my students.
Yes, my students. Because I am a student more than I'm anything else. You can call me minister, you can call me ma'am, call me that. But I know what I am. More than I am anything else, I'm a student. And being a student is what has lifted me up above others that I've been associated with. Being a student, and a good student, and a hard-working student. You ask one of my wives, I'll tell you which one, Shirley. You ask Shirley.
Can you remember
him, this minister Wallace, when he was married to him, did he study?
He said, wow. He said, sometimes he'd sit up all night. Then we'd go to bed. And we get up in the morning, he's still right at the table where he was when he was at work. With papers everywhere. Books open. And I go to bed. I went to work. I got busy doing something else. I slept when I had to sleep. I got sleep. You know I did. I wouldn't be here if I didn't get sleep. I got it. But I did what I had to do. I devoted myself to study.
Yes,
and I had a strong urge to do that. I just had to do that. And I was interested in bringing this people who followed my father to where he promised us that he would take us, or that we would go. Freedom, justice, equality, independence. I don't know what you think, but I know I have brought you there. Allah has blessed me to bring you there.
Right.
To freedom, justice, equality, and independence.
Right.
Thank Allah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So how did I say put it?
As people who claim Islam.
Further our story
in the Shuba hand. It was not in the logic. It was not in the plain teachings of the Quran. It was not in the basis of the book. It was in the Shuba hand. And we had misinterpreted the Shuba hand. It had our own false religion. That we were calling Islam. We didn't know what we were getting to. They didn't give a case like that. We didn't have any choice in the matter. We were mesmerized. The magnet was too strong for us. It just got us. We clung to the magnet. We had no power to pull away from it. But that two main ways to get the magnet out of a magnet. One way is with electricity. The other way is to take something and hit it real hard. Take a solid, just a solid aluminum, and keep banging it. It'll lose its magnetism. Well, I've all been banging a long time. I know I got all the bags of tunes out of it. I got three. Yes, sir. So, we're always playing this stuff on clear. It's time for us to start wasting time.
That's right.
Only time on that old stuff that confuses your mind. Tie up your energy. So you can't make progress in a real world. I know that the superior part of it too. That's the inferior part of it, and that's the inferior part of it. The superior part of it was that the way it was given to us, it influenced better behavior in us and better life. Better life, cleanliness and godliness, godliness and cleanliness. It influenced that in us, you know. So that's the positive side. That's the superior part of us. But how far can you take that, go with that? When the light is coming on brighter and brighter to show up that will have attraction power. But really, this attraction is not good, it's not attractive. So if the light increases and you're embarrassed to keep hanging on to those things, with the light still shining so brightly on, you know? So there comes a time when you got to separate from that. And then suddenly you can make a complete separation and don't go back. I thought it was so good to me. My spine problem would be in jail nowadays if it wasn't for that message. So I had to go back and look in the chest and go down the basement and think I put some little nothing in the box. I just got to go around there and look at it and read them a little bit. You messing yourself up. Make a clean break. Like a man living just terribly, you know, helplessly in love and wanting the finest thing on earth to him. And the more longer he lives with her, the more he sees her deeper. And after a while, everybody knows her deeper. You can't even go outside without somebody looking at and holding it and holding it. But he just can't forget, you know. So finally one day he decides to really get around and separate. Now he's in Chicago, he done moved way over to South Africa and the traffic or somewhere, even South Africa, Cape Town. But every now and then you gotta go and look among his and get her picture. Pull a picture out of an old collection, you know, and look at her picture. You have to make a clean break. You have to make a clean break with it. Once you make up your mind that something is good for you and the other is not, you make a clean break. There's always something good in something. You know, Hitler's the worst man I can think of in modern history. Hitler. Adolf Hitler. But I bet you if I heard everything about his life, there'd be something that would attract me. Be attracted to him. Oh, yeah, that guy was just beautiful.
see the thing. I said, look at him carefully, I'll find something good about him. You know, I know where you can find something good about me.
Very nice.
Okay, I see. I don't know, but I'm going to find something right now. Right now, I'm thinking I'm going to have something good. In less than 2 minutes, I'm going to have you something good about me. Oh. In the judgment, God said, when you're charged and you say, charge to Satan, Satan's going to say, I had no power with you. He'll say, I only invited you and you responded.
I got to admire him for that.
That's okay. That's what I
have
to do
with
Satan. It's all right.
But he's
really
before the big judge.
He let the judge know. Look. Hey, look, judge. I just saw a weakness in him. And I feel that weakness. And he accepted it.
Now, he knew what God would do for him. He's not going to escape.
But that is something to be admired in him.
And when he's before the mighty court, he's going to recognize God and going to tell God that I didn't force them to do anything. I just found a weakness in them. And I came through that weakness and he is accepted.
And Satan's going to help you know that you were wrong.
And you have to answer for yourself. Right?
Yeah.
So I found something in Satan to admire.
That's good.
Satan. I ain't talking to nobody here.
I know some of you all, you're just as crazy as you can be. Yeah, I believe man was here. I know he looked at that girl, I know he kept you.
There's somebody you want to hurt, you know. I know Jeff, what you looking at? Did you see his eye go over there?
What is the Quran? Okay. So much for what is the Quran. Now, let's go to next question. What is the prophet?
Now, why did I ask that question that way?
Why didn't I say who is the prophet? Anybody can tell us who is the prophet.
The prophet of Islam.
Anybody can tell us that. Then go to the library and ask that question first. But what is the prophet?
So to answer the question, what is the prophet, let's
first look at who is the prophet. And who is the prophet
will lead us to what is the prophet.
Who is the prophet? The prophet is a Meccan.
Peace be upon him. Born in about 6th century
of the Christian calendar, 670 A.D. And the prophet
is the person who was called an Arab, because he spoke Arabic, and he was of the
tribe of Quraysh, a tribe of the Arab people,
of the peninsula of India.
He was the son of Abdullah, and his house
goes back to Hashim,
who was the keeper of the keys of the Kaaba. His mother was Amina. Not giving all of them. Not that important.
Now we've established where he came from,
the land he came from,
the time. We've established his father.
and a grandparent of his named Hans. And we've established also that his mother is Amina. One of these. The prophet also a citizen of Mecca who was known all of his life before he was called to be prophet, to be honorable, upright, trustworthy. Names he received before being called to be prophet was El Amin, which means the one you can trust,
the trustworthy one. And a Sadiq, the truthful one. Truthful one. At the age of 25, he married
a woman
by the name of Khadija. May God be pleased with her.
A woman that he worked for before he married her.
And she admired him so much as a person and as a worker that she wanted him to be her husband. And he accepted to be her husband while still accepting to be her employee, working for her. He employed her, businesswoman. When he was 40, and by the way, she was 15 years older than he was.
She was his senior by 15 years. When he was 40 years old,
while up in the mountain now called the Mountain of the Light, Jabal Nur,
the Mountain of Light,
in a small opening at the mountain,
a little cave, near the top of the mountain, or in the top of the mountain,
he was there in solitude,
grieving the condition of his people, living for just a temporary life, divided along tribal lines,
not united
as a people.
Doing good things, one of them
preferring boys to girls
and killing off their girls' children just so they have more boys. So this tells us who is Muhammad the Prophet.
An Arab.
With that description. It is also said that in his adult years, he was associated with certain personalities, like Abu Bakr. And these personalities were not like most of the Arabs. They did not worship the idol that almost 100% of the Arabs worship or had in their homes or in their lives. And did not carry their crude behavior or crude manners and behavior, but they stood above them. And it's said and believed that the word Hanafi attributed to Prophet Abraham, Ibrahim, in the Quranic Arabic, is what they identified themselves as
before
Islam.
That they were Hanafi. And Hanafi simply means
the person
tried to follow the better urges in their own nature and life.
They respond to the better urges
in their own human nature and life. So what is of good taste
in their behavior, in their spirit, in their motivations, whatever,
that's what they prefer.
So they build upon the better motivations and the better
energies of their life
and rejected the lower and weaker urges or motivations in their lives. And as a result of that, they raise up above idolatry and debauchery. Uncleanliness, corruption, immorality.
So this term was already among them. I'm convinced of that.
That the term Hunasar was already among them. And so when God revealed to Muhammad the message of Islam, and when he identified to him what was in Abraham, he identified to Abraham with a name, that gave Abraham a name that Muhammad was already acquainted with. Said that Abraham was Hanifa, from Hunasar.
Hunasar is many, small, for many of them.
And Hanif is for one of them.
It's a better than Hanif. I'm going to hear Hanif. Brother Hanif, raise your hand. Where's Brother Hanif? There are two Hanif here.
There are
all Hanif.
There he is.
Yeah, sitting at the table right here.
There are two Hanif. Both of them are my close brothers.
Close friend back there.
Ever since I met him, I've considered him a close friend. Yes,
automatically, my spirit went back up to me too, brother. Yeah, soul pain like that, just like with him. His brother's back there on the wall, back there. And from, not in Annapolis,
Kansas City. Kansas City.
Yes, and brother, I knew you the same thing, brother, I knew.
First time I saw your eyes, I just felt that
we had been knowing each other all along.
like
we weren't meeting for the first time.
Yeah. And that's what it calls my soul likeness. Likeness of soul.
Soul likeness. And you meet the person who
like your soul, similar soul to yours. You just automatically just come from.
Now wouldn't it be nice
to fall in love with a sister like that?
You have
the instant meeting of the souls?
Yeah. I've been so unlucky in my life.
Don't tell my lies, Jesse. Well, if I can't find something to pity at a woman, look like I don't have an answer for her. Don't mess me up. I have no advice for you people having domestic problems. I am not qualified. So please don't write to
me. All I can do is tear some tears on a piece of paper and spin it back there.
But I try to keep them happy. I do my best to keep them happy. So it's not their fault, it's mine.
Yeah. That was Darwin.
Good job.
I got a lot of cookies. Bad judgment. But you know, sometimes you believe in the Qadr of God too, right? The Qadr of God. Qadra al-Qadr khayrihi al-Qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah Ta'ala. That the power of to over harm and goodness It's God, not the effect, but the power from God.
The effect is from us.
But the power is from God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, how I'm affected is
my doing. But the power is from God. And I know that what seems to be
a hurt in your life sometimes is your best help.
Not the hurt. You think the hurt, that's the way you've been looking at it.
But sometimes it's your best help.
Really, I wouldn't change my life.
God knows I wouldn't.
I appreciate and value every experience I've had. With Shirley
and the others. I do.
And for each,
I have gotten something for myself personally
that will help me be a better person and to deal with the problems of life now.
Yes, I have.
So, I think some people God selected. There are people who are going to have special kinds of responsibilities and special kinds of things coming at them and
coming in their way.
And God selects them, and He determines
their involvement,
though they determine their outcome.
I hope you can follow that.
Now, that's a little heavy logic, yeah,
but it's true. And I'm a witness.
What is the prophet? He's talking about who is the prophet, right?
He's talking about who is the prophet. No, he's not really a prophet yet, is he?
So what we've been talking about is who is the person?
That became the prophet.
So, right? Who is the person that became the prophet?
So we talk about who his mother was, who his father was, grandfather, his mother was, and his wife, who his wife was, and where he was born and all that, his languages, what race, or what tribe, the Quraysh, the most noted tribe of Quraysh. All that is just saying, who is the person that became the prophet?
It's not telling us who the prophet is.
You buy that? Okay. No. Oh, yeah. It says who the prophet is because only one prophet named that. We know that. But those descriptions were not descriptions of the prophet. He had not become prophet yet. They only became descriptions of the prophet after God made him prophet. So when you ask who, what is the prophet,
you must understand what transpired
to bring him into prophethood, or to make him conscious that he was prophet and messenger of God. So when we ask who is the prophet, we must understand the power of God to communicate to a person, a human being. Now this was called some faith and belief.
Look at a man in history, that won't get you to appreciate that man and his great role as a prophet. You just looking at him in history.
Reading his history, his family, his story.
You've got to believe that God has the power
and that God communicated a message for the whole world to the mind and heart of a human being.
And that made him the prophet.
And the nature of the message and the content of that message
made him the last prophet, the seal of the prophet.
What made him the last prophet? What made him the seal of prophet?
Now, let's look at seal made of the prophet. The seal of the prophet.
The same the term that says seal, it means the Lamb.
Where did reasoning come from?
The last book in the Bible is called Revelation. And the last thing it said is, it is sealed.
Don't add anything more to it?
That's what the warning is.
The warning is, don't add or take away or add anything to it. It's sealed. And it's the last book of the Bible called the Revelation.
Revelation. And Muhammad is called the Khatam al-Nabiyyin,
the last of the prophets. But literally, it means the seal of the prophet.
The seal of the prophet. Meaning nothing comes after that.
It's a lie, but it's also sealed, meaning nothing can come after that.
Not as the prophet. And he's also called Chrysostom, Lamar. What it means?
Chrysostom,
Lamar. Means enough for all mankind. Enough as what? For all mankind.
Enough for all mankind.
Enough for what? Enough as a messenger and prophet for all mankind. No human being needs any messenger or prophet after Muhammad. He's enough to ask the enough for all mankind.
So aren't these saying the same thing?
He is the prophet in the Nevi'im. He's the seal, the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets.
And the seal of the prophets means that
if you study the prophets themselves, taken separately and altogether, you will arrive at the conclusion that this is what all of them were aiming for. All of them were trying to reach Muhammad. All of them had foresight on what Muhammad is as a messenger and father of God. Whether consciously or unconsciously, they were moving in that direction. They're playing in their position in terms of what they wanted to do and offer as service.
Come to Muhammad the Prophet's offer.
And come to Muhammad the Prophet's mercy.
His merciful work among
in the family of man, among people. This is where he wants to come.
So that's what it meant by seal of the prophet. He's a seal of the prophet.
Seal means more than one thing.
In the revelation, seal means
protected
by locking it up against minds that will abuse it or misrepresent it.
Protected for time.
Until the right time that God chooses for the right pure hand
to pick it up and unlock it. But protect it against all that are not pure.
So that the impure will not be able to
decipher it or unlock its mystery or whatever it is.
That's what it means. Sealing the book, the last book, the Revelation.
There's much I can tell you about that, and I'm sure there's much you can tell me about that. Now, that's not the course, so I won't waste more time on that. Now,
Muhammad, the prophet, is also called
Uswatan Hasana.
Uswatan Hasana.
And it says an excellent model.
Huh?
That's the translation. Excellent model.
But what is this word, Uswa? What is this word that's translated model? What is it exactly? What is it saying exactly? Uswa. Uswa is from Siwa.
And Siwa means duly proportioned.
Correctly proportioned, where nothing is outrageous.
Nothing is exaggerated. Nothing is exaggerated or untruthful.
Everything
is proportioned and balanced according to truth, justice, etc. It's Uswa. Mean balance.
Siwa from Siwa.
To understand balance, you need religious history, scriptural history.
And the meaning of balance in scriptural history.
It goes way back before Jesus Christ. Way back before Moses, peace be upon him. Even before Abraham, peace be upon him. This interest in human balance, and the belief that the human being in his physical balance is a picture of what he should be in his spiritual balance. He should not be looking deformed, warped, leaning, out of form, or out of position. And the Quran mentions this. Those who walk evenly, have an even gaze, even pace, and an even gaze as they walk along. And those who tilt to one side, losing the balance. You see? Like the hip brother that dipped. going on dipping to one side. And it's usually the left side they're dipping to. The weak side is pulling them over. See what? Now, in the seawall, what do you get? You get a cross, don't you? The cross is a picture of the bow. It's a picture of the bow. The cross. So Christianity is really saying the same thing, isn't it? So maybe that's why the prophet said to the army, see that you do not destroy their relics, profane the sanctity of their holy places, and see not that you break a cross. It must have been a higher meaning that he was addressing when he said, see not that you break a cross. People got their life in the balance. Don't do anything to disturb their peace and mess up their life and cause them to lose their balance. Well, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said. Now we're talking about what is the prophet, right? We ain't just giving names and relative names. We're talking about what is the prophet. Who's what they have? And it didn't take just a minute. For whoever believes in God and the last day. I mean, they believe in God and they believe in the promise of God. They believe in God and they believe that God's promise is true. That he will resurrect the dead. And he will give those who remain honorable and faithful to him, even though they commit sins. He forgives sins. Especially the sins of one who does a good to make up for his wrong. He promised them hope. A life of their soul's desire. Right? Yes. For those who believe that, whether they're Muslims, Christians, Jews, or others. Muhammad is said to be, by God, in our holy book, the Quran, to be an excellent model for them. Excellent model for them. So he is a universal figure. Mm-hmm. Muhammad is a universal figure. He doesn't appeal to just one religion or just one people. Right. And look what the president said. President of the United States. The Honorable, highly honored, William Jefferson Kennedy. Each year, Ramadan brings a promise of renewal and hope for the world. I pray that as the new moon rises, we will witness the beginning of a new era of tolerance around the globe. As the followers of Islam celebrate the revelation of God's word to Muhammad. We join you in honoring his call to harmony and peace. You see how that Uswa San Hassanan has reached the President of the United States?
Ain't nobody doubting his peace about him, man.
The President saying we honor his call. Who call? Muhammad. God's word to Muhammad. Say we join you in honoring his call for harmony and peace. Good. So we know President James Madison recognized Islam. Uh-huh. President Jefferson. Several of them did. Even Washington. Now here is one in our time. Carter too. President Carter. And here is one in our time.
paying his respect to the great universal prophet and messenger, Muhammad. Not saying that he's a Muslim, no, but he's saying that we honor this Lord, this great prophet who is whose followers are the Muslims. It's almost 9 o'clock, but don't worry. I'll pick. God says of Muhammad also, he is a mercy to all the world. Rahmatan lil alamin. A mercy to all the world. He is the prophet that received the Quran, and the Quran by its name tells us that it's a book to bring about the revival and the progress of teaching and training the human intellect and educating the society. Education. The Quran is from a word, qara'ah. Qara'ah, which means to read. And they say, and then recite. But if I say to you, huwa qara'ah, or qara'ah huwa, hadha kitab, he read this book. It doesn't mean he recited that book. It means he read that book. Qira'atul Arabiyyah means reading, Arabic reading, reading Arabic, reading the Arabic reading. That means Arabic recitation. By reference to what has occurred traditionally, they have come up with this meaning for Qara'ah, recite. Because what was read by Muhammad, when God ordered him to read, became something that was recited by the many who accepted to protect the Quran in its original reading or original composition. They devoted themselves to a life of piety, so that they recite the whole Quran and by memory and without any mistake, so it'd be in their life. And therefore, each hafiz is committed to pass it on to another hafiz, so it stays. And always someone who can mimic, who can read the whole Quran by heart, or recite it by heart. So because of this tradition, we get this meaning, recite for qara'ah. God said to him, read. And God said to him, read. And God said to him, read. And he began reciting the Quran. But I know, with understanding God has blessed me to have, that he began reading the Quran. He began reading the Quran. And he read it not from pages. He read it from his own conscience. God put it into his own conscience. And he read it from his own conscience. He read it in the hearing of the scribes, those who were devoted to protecting it, and they wrote it down exactly as they heard it from his mouth and preserved it until this day.
Arabs didn't need fatha or letters. They didn't need fatha, kasra, dhamma, sukun. They didn't need those things. They knew that language. But when Islam became the language of a religion for mankind, they had to put those indicators on there so that everybody could learn Arabic easy and be able to say, to read it correctly with the correct sounds, the fatha, kasra, dhamma, sukun, etc. So Muhammad the Prophet is the one who received the Quran, the message for all mankind, from God, and then read it or recited it so that others would hear it and write it down, preserve it, and was committed to memory, like he did. He said that on one night of the month of Ramadan, he read the whole Quran. Stood all the night. And I guess that's why the revelation came into him in the Quran, saying, read it for part of the night. And reminded them that they had wives, not that they looked like their wives. They spend so much time in reading and reciting the Quran at night, and they remember they had wives. Don't neglect their wives. Go home. Spend some time with your wife. Is that good for you, brother?
Yes, sir.
I know it's good for me. Even after all this confusion I brought in my life. It's still good for me to go home to my wife. Not to somebody else's wife, to my wife. What is the prophet and messenger of God? The prophet and messenger of God is one like all other prophets. What makes them prophets is that they receive revelation from the Lord of the world that comes to their conscious mind, and they are able to communicate it and articulate it so that another rational person can hear it and appreciate it. Though it comes from God, the Most High, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, present everywhere, omnipresent. Though it comes from that high authority, that mighty authority, that infinite being in all attributes of perfection and beauty, it can be communicated to an uneducated person like Muhammad was, but in innocent. He was an innocent person. He was not a person of sin. He was not a person with any selfish motive. Not a person with any plot, any scheme. Completely innocent, like a newborn baby. But a man. And a man in all beautiful meaning of the word man. He was strong, but at the same time compassionate, humble, considerate, soft-spoken, but to be firm and very strict at the same time. Lover, loved his children, loved other children, loved his wife, loved men, respected men, loyal to his friends, and would not do anything unjust to him. Patient with the weak, patient with children and old folks, patient with slow thinkers, slow readers. No humor here. Patient, understanding, considerate, and didn't want any special favors, didn't want another human being to carry a burden that he was able to carry, and that is put upon them. It would be heavier on them than it was on him. He wouldn't accept that they carry it. Did help his wives and with their housework. Went and shopped in the market by himself, not with an entourage. His people were mostly poor, so he did not separate himself from his people by going out in the street looking like a king. But he wore the same simple clothes they wore, slept on the simple beds that they slept on. They were so poor, their beds were only a thin, casing with leaves in it. The thickness hardly about a half inch, the thickness of it. Put that on the ground, sleep on the ground. I put that on the floor of the house, sleep on the floor. And the floor of the house was dirt floor. This is Prophet Muhammad. It was a wood floor. They slept on the wood, put the thin mat on the casing with the leaves in it or something soft in it, put it on the floor, sleep on the floor. That's how he slept. When he traveled, this is history. When he traveled, he would carry two garments. One he would wear, the other one he put on when that one got dirty. As soon as he put on the clean one, he washed the dirty one. He didn't have maid. He washed the dirty one. He did all that for himself.
still had time to visit the weak, the old, the aged. I'm ashamed of myself. I got relatives that I don't even visit. Too busy. I don't have the discipline that he has. My discipline should be much better. He visited sick relatives, sick friends, a sick neighbor. He cheered them up and still did all his other work. He met with high leaders, the educated, met with people of government, met with great businessmen, people of great wealth, met with all of them, and still had time to meet with poor people, uneducated people, and help them with their personal problems. That's Muhammad. And had that great heavy responsibility of giving the message that God gave him so that the whole world would receive it. Now, you talk about reaching transparency. He reached past transparency. Became a pure light for the world. When it came to him performing the duty of prophet and messenger of God, servant of God, there was no nationalism involved, no racism involved, no ego involved, no cultural attachment involved, no loyalty to national culture, no loyalty to national ideology, no loyalty to anything but obedience to God. That was that man. And coming not from something, an acceptance of something that he imposed upon himself, but coming from a relationship of the lover and the job. The job had a lover, and he was the lover, in love with his job. And he was never convincing himself to do it, but he was just seeing the relationship and a way to make that relationship stronger for the pleasure of God. Out of desire to obey God. So then, like, we have a relationship with something we are naturally a part of and naturally want for ourselves. That's how his job was for him. It was a relationship with something that he wanted, naturally wanted, and naturally belonged to. He naturally belonged to it. That's how he saw it. He saw himself naturally just by the nature. His nature to it. I belong to this. I'm for this. This is made for me. This is what I want in my heart, in my soul, in my flesh, in my whole being. I'm giving my life to that that it wants. To that that it wants, or to what it wants. And that's the human being God made. God made us all to be like that. But all of us are not Muhammad. One is Muhammad. One Muhammad. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prayers and the peace be on him. But he is there to be a witness to us of what Allah wants for humanity. This is the excellence that Allah wants for humanity. And to the greatest extent possible for us, we should want to come into his uswa, his excellence as a model for human life. If we desire it, honestly, God will help us get more and more into that excellence. So Muhammad, lastly, is a witness. He's a witness to mankind that this is the picture of the human being God wants for all human beings. Then God says, we should be a witness to the people too. Muhammad is a witness in the single body, single person. We should be a witness in the plural body of the community life. We are obligated to make a community life based upon the Quran and based upon Muhammad's uswa and his labor, his work among us, among human beings on this earth. We are to make a community in the excellence of the word of God and the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And when we make a community after that excellence, we then are witnesses to the whole humanity too, of what Allah wants for man as a picture of human society. Isn't this beautiful?
Yes.
That God wants for man a human picture of excellence. And Muhammad is the focus for it. And Jesus was a sign of it. Peace be upon Christ Jesus. And he wants for humanity, for all people, a community devoted to the excellence of the religion, following the model of Muhammad, his sunnah, his way, so that man can also look on this earth among the living and see what God wants for all people as a model society. Isn't it clear what we have to do?
Yes.
It is very clear what we have to do. We have to live the excellence of Islam, the Quran, and the excellence of Muhammad, so that we show in our life as a society, as a group of people devoted to establishing and progressing society, our own community, what God wants for all people. For all people. This is what Allah obligates us to do. Establish something that God wants for all people. How can you be selfish then? If God says you are the best community brought out or raised up or evolved for all mankind. Ukhrijat linnas. For all mankind. Then how can we be selfish? Working for the black glory of the black people. Working to prove something for the black race. Or prove something to the world that the black race is powerful, mighty, mighty black man. I'm not at all remembering or respecting on our past. If we will fight, I'd say the same thing. Against us, if we will fight people doing it. Not in Islam, you can't do that. You can't be satisfied in your little small place in these cities. Working in your little small place, thinking only about a few people with you, praying with you, and doing things with you. That's as far as you can see, brother. You're too small for one ayah of the Quran. Not to mention the whole book. If that's as far as you can see. You should be ashamed if you're not living to be attractive to the whole city. You must be attractive to the whole city. You must appeal to the eye that's looking for excellence in the whole city, not just your little neighborhood or not just your little family. Are those 12 people you have coming to your messages? That's a shame. No. You want to get your dawah bigger? You want to get more people supporting you? Embrace the universality of Islam.
Right.
And come out of that narrowness, that smallness. And you'll see a world change. For you. So much for what it's about. Last question. What is a Muslim? This is a quick one. A Muslim is the nature for human content and human life. And growth put into us, made for us by our Creator, and it's in us when we are born from our mothers as Muslims. What is a Muslim in tradition or in history? A Muslim is one who says he follows the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet. That's the end of what a Muslim is. Simply means to accept peacefully, to conform peacefully. That's what it means, to conform peacefully. Say, Brother Imam, say to the will of Allah. No, that ain't what Muslim says. Muslim simply says to conform peacefully. Ain't, Allah is not in there. Now, where I have the support for this? Muhammad the Prophet, it was revealed to him to tell the desert Arabs who were not conforming as they should. Say not that you believe, you're believers, but say that you have aslama, which means you have accepted to be Muslim. Muslim is from salama. Aslama is the order that I have done that. Say that you have aslama, means that I have, you say for yourself, say I have, mean I have aslama, I have accepted to be Muslim. Because faith has not entered your heart. Why am I making this distinction? Because Allah makes a distinction in the Quran. Muslim is not the big deal. To say you are Muslim is not the big deal. To say you are a believer is the big deal. And then believers, because all people are Muslim, they just don't know it, according to what Muhammad said in the Quran and Muhammad. That everyone is born a Muslim. Isn't that what Muhammad said? Peace be upon him. Everyone is born a Muslim, and it's the circumstances that they are put in that makes them otherwise, if you're a Christian or something. Well, Muhammad said, peace be upon him. So the big deal is not that you're a Muslim. Does the Quran say, all Muslims, do this, do that, do that. All believers. And then there are, we close it right now, But we got plenty of time. Tarawih prayers, well, how you pronounce it, both ways is good. Tarawih prayers. These prayers go up into the night. You ain't prepared to stay out there all that time. I'm really helping you out. You're going to do these sharing, ain't you? See, and I had breakfast and lunch. I had breakfast with a date and some water. 2-3 dates and some water. And I had lunch with the fish. And I'm getting ready to conclude this and go have my dinner after prayer. I got to face the daylight hours, you know, and I can't eat anything or drink anything. So I'm gonna get my third meal after we finish prayer. Now you could go to bed if you want to sleep good. That's up to you. And I don't want any company. That doesn't mean you security brothers don't go with you. You got a few cavemen walking around here. One caveman is here in Cleveland. And don't you decide who it is. You'll be wrong. One caveman is here in this town, and we got, I think, about a dozen zombies. Now, you know I don't want to be out here alone. Now, when it comes to believers, you got two types of believers. Maybe many types, but only two types are addressed in the Quran. There's the believer that believes in part, and this is in Scripture. There's a believer that believes in part. This is Islamic Quran. I'm coming from Quran. And there's a believer that has set his mind, spirit, and soul, and body to accept all that God says. but his mind can understand it or not. He works to understand as much as he can with his mind, but where his mind stops, his spirit keeps going. That's the true believer. In the Quran, Allah calls this believer Haqqa, the believer in truth. He's a believer that have certified his belief. It has been certified with the term Haqq, means true and real. Why? Because he has accepted all of it. He believes all of it. And they believe all of it. And they say all of it is from the Lord. From Allah, the Lord. From their Lord. That's the true believer. So, this completes this session. And I'm going to make a general statement now, as I said, as I promised, on the Quran, the features of the Quran. And then we will go and prepare ourselves for the prayer, the Ramadan prayer. We must understand that the Quran is like food that God has prepared for all people, for every individual. The Quran is like the best healthy food and the best tasting food, the best food in its appearance. Everything that we look for in just the ideal meal for us, the meal of our choice. That's the Quran. And it comes to us from God Almighty. And it's for us as a nation. It's for the United States of America. If the United States of America want to declare this religion its religion, it's for us as a nation. It's for us as a society. For us as a society within a society, sharing the nation and obligations of citizenship with other societies in this big society. It's for us as professionals. One is a professional soldier, the other one is a professional lawyer, the other one is a professional doctor, another one is a professional musician, etc. It's for us as professionals. And it is for us as common people with common simple tastes, common simple life, having enough just to go punch the clock and make the hours, get the check in the weekend, take care of our bills, be happy with our families and our children, our wives, whatever. It's a meal for them. It's a meal for the man who wants to engage the nature, the human nature, or wants to engage any particular aspect of human nature. Like maybe he wants to engage his nature to appreciate beauty. He can read the Quran and become so thrilled, so inspired, so lifted in spirit. The Quran is a complete book for every nation, for every group, and for every individual, male and female and child. That's why you can read some portions of the Quran and a child will listen and be very much attentive. Like the story of Luqman's advice to his son, especially if you know how to explain it. Break the big words down for the child. To hold the child's attention, the child will never forget it. Just sticks with the child. For the lover of sounds, it's melodious. Some verses flow more like Suratul Bayyina, flow so beautifully in rhythm and beauty. Also beautiful in its seemingly poetic language, telling us about the beauty of the seas, the beauty of life in the deep waters, the coral, beautiful pink colors and the pearls and all these beautiful things. So it's for everybody. It's a complete meal. It has salad, soup, the main dish, and so many varieties. There's so many varieties of it. There's so many varieties of desserts. And Allah says, He is the one who gives without counting. And there's a whole chapter in the Bible called counting. Now I know it ain't called counting. See, man, I made a mistake. You agree to me, right? You nuts. I know it's called numbers. But you read it. They're counting. I'm going to get my buddy out of that lockup he's in here. Yes. So it says, Allah gives without counting. He's the one that gives without counting. You know what that means? That he, God ain't concerned about you giving you too much. That's not his concern. His concern is only to give. And he knows that you have a capacity. It's limited. You only can take so much. But he just gives. So that much is left after you have been satisfied. Much is left. And that tells you that he didn't give for you only. And then you become an instrument of his mercy and goodness. You start to find others who need and share. You make it reach them. Yeah, this is a great God. This is a real God. Okay, so we have covered what I had planned to cover today. I want to lastly say that the message of the Quran is the message of scriptures received before from the same God, from the Lord created heaven and earth. Why did I say that? Because some people have claimed they received something, but they didn't get it from the Lord of the heaven and earth. But those people who receive something from the Lord created the heaven and earth, what the Quran is the same message. It's only extended to bring it to its completion. To give the whole that God wanted for mankind on this earth. And it's corrected because errors came in what came before. Errors came into it. So it says that these are the corrected books. Meaning that the books that were here before, they had errors in them. And these are the corrected books and an explanation and clarity. Extending it further. And a completion. When God says, this day, I have preferred for you Islam as your religion and have completed my favor on you. That tells us that this was something that was in progress. That God was finishing something that was in progress for a long time. And he said his favor was on Jews and his favor was on the people of Aaron or the Christians who became Christians later. Favor on the Christians. And he says that his favor is on the Muslims, right? Finally, his favor came on the Muslims. So his favor was passed from one people to another. And these are just a few that are well known, but there are many that are not well known, and no need to mention them because nobody knows them. That he also put his favor on, or put his favor upon. That he was also bringing, he was evolving them into the picture of human beings and society, human society, that he wants for all people. He was doing that. So he says, and I completed my favor, preferred for you Islam as your religion. But he says, I have perfected for you your religion too. Perfected for you your religion. And completed my favor upon you. And have preferred for you Islam, or al-Islam, the language of for religion, or as a religion. This is what God says. So if you listen to that language is... I am in tune with that language. See, that's how you know whether a teacher is translating right or interpreting correctly or doing the correct explanation of meaning. Is it consistent with what God has said in many places, not just one place? You don't know it until you test it in many places. So, okay, well, God said this in 12 places. God have reference to what the imam is saying. I find 12 references in the Quran. Guess what I say by every reference? And if you find me out of harmony, with any of those references, I give up my job. God knows I'll give up my job. How do I know that? Because I'm not my own guy. I follow Imam W. Dean Muhammad. I'm not my own guy. Imam W. Dean Muhammad is protected by God. Now, so those scriptures before, what the theme was, is the theme of the Quran. What was the theme? That God created you, God started the world, and then man took it over. And God is going to get it back. And God is going to show you through your special ones that he selects from among you. He's going to show you the destiny, the final picture. Before Muhammad, there were prophecies of the final picture. There were parables of the final picture. But with Muhammad came the living proof of the final picture. Muhammad the prophet is the only prophet. Now you listen to this. If you're still in the church and you came in here as a liar, I'm going to burn you a little bit. But you did it to yourself, not me. Muhammad is the only prophet that there's historical proof of. There's not another prophet, not even Jesus Christ, that there's historical proof of.
Right.
Only the people who believe in those prophets claim there's historical proof. The rest of the world knew nothing about them. The rest of the world never heard about Jesus Christ. Outside of Judaism, they've never heard of a Moses or Abraham. But the whole world knows Muhammad. Believers and non-believers know Muhammad.
That's the proof.
That's the evidence.
That's the evidence.
That is the pure evidence. Session is closed. Now this is outside of the session. This is Wallace speaking, not Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You all want to hear Wallace speak?
Who would choose a religion other than Islam but someone who wants to debase himself or make himself a fool?
Yes.
Will we keep our seats, please? Hold it. Hold it. We'll keep our seats, please. Got 5 seconds to do.
Yes.
First, please. If you don't mind, the night is young. You may have
to get some food.
But, get me Lahmar Rahman Rahim. There's a brother here who's been in the masjid ever since, I think, Juma today. And he lost $100, $100 bill in the masjid. So someone had to find the $100. Would you be so kind, since it was found in the masjid, and the brother belongs to Allah, the masjid belongs to Allah, would you please turn it in to the secretary? And the secretary would see this brother. Would you raise your hand, please? Brother who lost $100. Some of you know who the brother is. I got one more statement to make.
Next time, don't say the brother who lost $100.
Yes, sir.
Say the brother who lost some money.
Yes, sir.
And let them tell you how much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. See, that's the teacher. And I'm the father. Yes,
no, that's
sir.
That's the thinker.
Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. All right, now.
That was Wallace speaking.
Yes, sir. Listen. And the next two remarks I'm going to make, I'm going to get another spanking. See, I've been telling y'all, I be spanked every time I'm with him. I just get spanked.
No, I'm telling
you. I can take it. Brother Rafa, that's what I'm going to talk about now. The imam made a comment about Brother Rafa, and I like to give evidence on things that the imam says. I was in Chicago for a couple of days when this thing came up about the session, Ramadan session in Cleveland. And the imam was in the car, and the imam quoted an advertisement to go in the Muslim Journal. This was on Thursday evening, late, extremely late. And he gave it to Rafa. Rafa had to try to find the editor. He had to try to find someone else. He tried to find someone else. Rafa went all night. In fact, he just had to take it to the press himself. And that Friday when the paper came out, the announcer was in there. So I'm backing up what the imam said, that there are people who, when they are told something, they do it. My next comment is this, when he was talking about the prophets. I have had the opportunity to travel with Imam Muhammad on many occasions. I used to carry two bags, and he carried just a little small bag, a little small one, about this big. And I've had the opportunity to sometimes share the night with him in his room. He would wash his socks and hang them on the line. I'm going to tell you what else he washed and hang it. But he carried one little small bag, and I'm carrying two bags. So now I ask my wife when I leave home how many bags I have. Well, I learned from that.
You cut them down. Eh?
Oh, yes, sir. Little bag. My next comment is this. Now, I made you think behind this. You heard me, ma'am. I have never seen the Muslim Journal. I haven't seen it yet. But he was talking about the statements of the Secretary of State, Madam Albright. You know, it's wonderful. And you've read the things that Senator Hatch and other people said about our leader.
Yeah. Paul Simon.
Paul Simon. A lot of people talked about the imam, made it just look so big. But now I want to know what we going to do.
That's right. I tell you. God gives without counting.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to count the heads in here. I'm asking counting. $10 from each.
Yes, sir. But, Chief, I appreciate that, sir.
You want for $10 from you, too. You get money.
Yes, sir. Let me share something with you. And I would be honored to pay more.
I know you would.
You know why? Because if it had not been for the leadership of Imam Zahid Muhammad in 1977, he said we should build houses to fit our religion. And I stepped out there.
Yeah, you did.
There's people here. Right. So this is the house. And then Imam Muhammad, he helped us. The first cook bar is June 3rd, 1983. It was paid for us. We could have did better, but we did the best we can.
It is beautiful, Doc.
You see? He took up the tent. I'm not talking about tonight, this weekend. I'm talking about Louisville, Kentucky, April the 8th.
All right.
When we are going to, and I'm not going to say inshallah, but if I die, somebody else is going to do it. If they die, somebody else is going to do it. It's going to be done. We're going to get a tribute to Imam Zahiruddin Muhammad to show him how much we appreciate his leadership.
That's right.
No problem. I don't want to mention, I can't make it. I don't have no mistake right now, dollar a day.
Yeah.
And we can do. We want to let Madam Albright, President Clinton, Vice President Gore, and all other folks in this country, what we think as African Americans about Imam W.D. Muhammad. And he's our leader, and we'll follow his leadership. Thank you very much. Oh, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you.
5 o'clock in the morning. We have to be back here for our meal, and we're going to make the lock, and we're going to have another session. But we want to show America and the world that we are behind Imam W.D. Muhammad leadership. Okay?
All right.
Thank you very much. We're going to go up and call that man. We're going to make the line. I'll call later. All right, good job. And I want to thank all of you who are in Cleveland.
We're
going to have some food in the morning. Don't look for no meat.
Let me. Yes. We have the 25 folders. They're blue, and they have copies of the certificate that I received from the State Department. I want to share something with you. The former Secretary of State, Christopher Warren, he was the one to start the ball rolling. And Madam Albright, she came in and took over that responsibility and made it happen. So I just want to mention him because he was aware of Yoey Man and my work, and he's the one that started the ball. Yeah, so here's the folder here, and we're going to give it to 25 of the imams. So don't worry, we're keeping it. We're going to give it to 20. We're going to select 25 of the imams to give it. And tomorrow, inshallah, before we leave, you will have added to this package tape, the tape of these sessions, and you're not to share this tape with anybody. The tapes are just for you, not for you to share with anybody else. If they didn't attend this session, you're not supposed to share them. Unless they hear directly from me, their problems can be created with you passing this on to those that were not here. So don't do that. Okay. And the tape and everything for $10.
Now, he said he's going to select. We should be going upstairs. He's not going to do it now.
No. No, tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Not tomorrow. It's going to finish tomorrow. My mother is tomorrow, inshallah.
No, sir. Yes, sir.